Winter can be a tough season in the upper Midwest, but in the spirit of if you can't beat them, you join them, we Wisconsinites, I think, have learned to make the most of this time of year. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Wisconsin Historical Museum has a great exhibit on display right now that takes a look at winter in Wisconsin over the years. And I'm really pleased to have the chance to talk with Leslie Belay, who is the curator of costumes and textiles for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And she curated the Winter Wisconsin exhibit, something I hope you have a chance to see. And we're going to visit with her right now about it. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Have you visited the called Winterful Wisconsin? Have you visited that exhibit yet? If so, what are your thoughts? What items represent your favorite parts of a Wisconsin winter? That's something else to think about. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Leslie Belay, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Well, getting through our Wisconsin winters sometimes is a feat, especially back in the day, I think, when there were more challenges for getting around, for staying warm and moving that snow out of the way. But you've got a kind of a wonderful exhibit you put together. Just sort of give us a general description of it.
Well, we decided to break it into two parts. When you first walk in, we have the endurance, so that this is a fun nostalgic trip in the past. So we're not dealing on the horrors of winter. But when you first walk in, we deal with how we endure winter, and so we're looking at dressing warmly, moving through the snow, and removing the snow, and that's our endurance section. And then we feel that after you have endured, it's time to play. So the second part is how we kind of embrace winter. And so we look at the recreational possibilities. The thing with this exhibit is I decided that this was going to be as if we've just had a big snowstorm and we are running out and enjoying the snow. So it's not, won't feature things like ice hockey and curling, where it's a little more formal. But yeah, Things where you've just run out and you decide to throw on some skates or get some skis or a sled and then enjoy the snow.
And I really think that was a wise choice, because a lot of the things that you are exhibiting are things that most of us don't know or didn't know very much about. For example, some of the Ojibwe gloves, for example.
Yes, I did decide as part of this exhibit we needed to recognize that Native Americans have lived in the snow here in Wisconsin much longer than any Euro-Americans. So we do have some beautiful beaded Ojibwe mittens on display as part of the dressing for winter section.
Yeah, that's really cool. Let's talk more about the clothing. What examples, other examples do you have?
Well, I decided to feature some of our fur collection. We have a very nice fur collection that doesn't get out very often. So one of the best pieces I found was we have a red fox coat worn by a farmer in, I think it's Dane County, and with a mink collar. And he was very well-to-do. And so he has this amazing, huge coat that probably kept him very warm in winter. And another great piece we have is a piece made by the Lakeland Manufacturing Company up in Sheboygan, and it's a snowsuit, and it was worn by a teenage woman in Sheboygan in the 1930s.
Wow. Well, I can remember a snowsuit when I was a kid. And
we do have a kid's snowsuit from the 70s, too.
All right.
I think that will be...
That's a little closer.
That's going to be something a lot of people remember.
Oh, yeah, and the with the... with the mittens that were attached through the arms on a string, so you wouldn't lose your mittens.
Yes, we have this one little boy's outfit from about 75, and We got the boots and the snowsuit, but not the mittens.
Okay, there you go. Talking today with our guest, Leslie Belay, curator of costumes and textiles for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And she curated the Winterful Wisconsin exhibit that's on display now. And it runs through January 10th, isn't it, Leslie?
That's great.
Runs through January 10th, so not a lot of time yet, but still some time. And it's actually, I think if you've got some children, most of them are now off for Christmas or for winter break, and good time to get over to the museum in Madison and take a look at it. The exhibit really looks at how we not only survive Wisconsin winters, but really how we thrive despite the conditions. And you talk about snow games, especially those played by Native Americans.
Yes, we do have two 19th century snow snakes on display. A snow snake is sort of a long stick. It has a snake-like head. And basically what they would do is create a trough in the snow, and you would throw it down. These troughs would be very long, like 1,000 feet long. And the idea was to throw the snow snake down the trough and see how far you could get it. And we cover this in our school groups all the time, but we've never had actual, I think these are Oneida, actually, snow snakes out on exhibit.
Well, that really, and so they would throw them and then try to land them in the trough?
It's kind of like an underhand throw, and the trough would be right there at around your knee height. And then you would just throw it down the trough. And they'd make the trough, they basically would create kind of a berm and then take a log down the berm and create that trough that way.
Oh, that is really, really cool. You also feature the Evergleam trees that are a wonderful Wisconsin product. And we had a Wisconsin Life piece about those Evergleam trees, and let's listen to that. Hold on.
My name is Jerry Walk from Manitowoc, and Aluminum Specialty Company's aluminum tree was introduced in 1958. The aluminum tree had the color that you use in decorations, silver, and it was something that was brand new. You put a light on it with four colors, and you put this in a window of a house and had this going at nighttime, and you had a beautiful scene. It was something that got everybody's attention. You had people that loved it, said this is absolutely the greatest thing for Christmas. Other people would walk in and say, you got to be kidding, what are you talking about? You know, what's an aluminum tree? There was probably a 50-50 split. People that really liked it, people that didn't like it. We started a factory, and with the response we got on it, we went to three shifts, and we had every available warehouse in the city stacked with trees, working 24 hours a day. We made, you know, electric revolving tree stands. We had a flat tree that you could put against the wall. We introduced colors, a gold, a green, a blue, and a pink. The silver tree still dominated the market. Our kids, we had four children, they loved the tree. They'd lay underneath it and watch it rotate and so forth. About 6 years into this, I'm at home at Christmas time. We had a snowstorm, couldn't get out, so my wife and I are in the family room talking. And I said something about, why don't we set up a tree? And we had just come out with a brand new green tree made out of plastic, polyethylene, looked very realistic, like a regular tree, to complement the aluminum tree. My two boys, we got all excited. I said, let's go down, we'll get the sample. We're down the steps, and I said, boys, what about having a green tree this year? Our oldest boy stopped and looked at me and said, Dad, what's a green tree? So it's what you get used to. You might remember Charlie Brown, Christmas, in the 1960s, late 60s, I think it was, when he said, all I want for Christmas is a pink aluminum tree. People remember them. It's got a following that is really unique. It's one of these icon things that you try to, you know, come up with. And when you come up with one, you're very lucky, very fortunate.
Oh, that was fun. And thanks to the all the folks who put together our Wisconsin Life pieces for the Evergleam tree. It's fun to have that little background. And, of course, Leslie, that's the kind of background they get when they come to see your exhibits.
That's right. And we do have about six or, forget how many we ended up doing, maybe nine Evergleam trees. It's sort of to create a winter wonderland effect. But we do have a label up there that explains the history of the Evergleen trees and how it's related to Wisconsin.
You have a couple of videos, do you not, as well?
Yes, we do. In fact, one of them we took the title of the exhibit from, Winterful Wisconsin, which was a 1969 movie put out by the DNR to encourage tourists to come spend winter here in Wisconsin for a week or a weekend, it says in the video. It's very kitschy, kind of campy. I don't think it was done on purpose, but, well, I know it wasn't, but it has that flavor to it. And the other one I put together by looking at home and amateur movies in our collection that had to do with winter, and between 1925 and 1940. So the first part of it's about 7 minutes long, and the first part shows us enduring winter, and then the last part shows us embracing winter.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I haven't seen it yet, so I've got to get over there in the next few days, and I'll take daughter Emily along with me, because that'll be a fun little fun thing for us to do for sure.
Well, it was a lot of fun to put together, and to pick which ones to actually show was really hard.
What about, speaking of picking things to show, you are you're in your position. You're curator of costumes and textiles for the Wisconsin Historical Society, and we have a wonderful source of help and information on the University of Wisconsin campus in the School of Human Ecology. But maybe you could talk a little bit about what goes into preserving those textiles and fabrics.
Well, first off, let me just tell you that as of this year, my title was changed to Curator of Social History, but I still take care of the costume and textile collection. And costumes and clothing and textiles are probably the hardest thing for a museum to take care of because they are so fragile and they can be so easily, destroyed. And so we try to keep everything in an acid-free environment with acid-free boxes and acid-free tissue paper. We are going to be moving into a new facility in a few years, and that will be all temperature and climate controlled. And so we try to maintain the highest standards possible for maintaining those things. And I do know that the Helen Louise Allen Textile Collection, which is part of the Human Ecology Department, has a new storage facility, and it's more state-of-the-art than ours is, but we'll catch up with them.
Yeah, they have some wonderful wonderful pieces. I guess with an international reputation for their textiles and their work in that area.
Our collection mainly focuses on clothing worn or made or used in Wisconsin.
Yeah, which is
very focused.
Yeah, which is wonderful. As a matter of fact, how do those materials come to you typically?
I would say about 99% of them are donated, and the most common thing I get offered are wedding dresses. So we have a nice collection of wedding dresses. But a few pieces we have purchased through auction, and those tend to be worn by famous people, usually as costume in movies.
Oh.
So a few years ago, it was a few years ago, we acquired Fred McMurray's costume from the Kane Mutiny through auction. And he was from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. He grew up here, went to Carroll College. And we wanted to have something in the the collection that represented him.
Oh, I can still see him with what was thrown in his face near the end of that movie.
It was like wine or something.
It was wine or something. A very powerful, moving scene from that. He was a great actor.
Yeah, so I watched, sat down, we got the costume, and I sat down to watch the movie to see where it shows up. It shows up when Humphrey Bogart is brought on board as the captain, and he wears it for 45 seconds. So I was a little bummed about that, but he is in the movie. We do have the Fred McMurray collection, and we do have a photograph of him in that costume for, just to make sure it fit him and, sort of taking pictures of him in costume. So it was kind of fun to find that was already in our collection.
Yeah. Are there other actors or actresses or famous people involved in that, too?
Well, another one we've actually worked with Daniel J. Travanti from Hill Street Blues.
Yeah.
And he's donated his captain's badge from Hill Street Blues.
Oh.
And his desk plate, which has Captain Farillo on it, which has been kind of fun. And some other pieces we bought through auction. We also wanted to represent TV shows that, or movies that had Wisconsin as their main theme. So we wanted something from Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley.
Sure.
So we got Happy Days. We got Mrs. Cunningham's bowling shirt, and we got a smock from the beer factory. And I can't remember the name of the beer. From Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you address, there's so many more things that we got a little off track from the exhibit.
Yes, it did.
But that's all right, because there's so many great things to see when we get over to the Wisconsin Historical Society. But this Winterful Wisconsin exhibit, I know one of the things, did we talk transportation? I don't think we've talked about that part of your Winterful Wisconsin. Because I know you had, like, for example, snowshoes from Ojibwe snowshoes, as a matter of fact.
That's right. And they're two of our oldest pairs. One's from 1843. We know that date because it was given to a Euro-American who came to Wisconsin in 1843, was given these as a gift. So we know what date it was. The other pair are from 1885. So these are about the oldest pair of snowshoes we have in our collection. The other transportation thing I decided to focus on was, which is kind of unusual, was Model T Fords had an adaption kit you could purchase to turn them into snowmobiles.
Snowmobiles, yes.
And so it turned out when I went and looked into this that we had the treads from a Model T Ford snowmobile. And so I also found out we had a model of it. That was made for a doctor who used to use one of these up in Juneau County. And as a gift to him in his old age, someone took a Model T kit and then used popsicle sticks and made skis out of them and then made the treads out of paper and electric tape. And it's a cute thing. And then I found tons of pictures we have in our collection of them in use throughout Wisconsin. So it was a really fun thing, and I thought, people probably haven't heard about this. And it was only around for a few years because the adaption kit was invented in 1917, really took off around 1923, 25, and then the Model T went out of production in 1927.
So there it went. You know, and so the snowmobile and skates, of course. And I'm sure you have sleighs and cutters and that sort of thing as well. Snow coasters. I had a snow coaster when I was a kid.
We have a great snow coaster from the Garten Toy Company in Sheboygan. But we do have a little section of sleds made in Wisconsin. And my favorite is the Snow Bronco, which is put out by the aluminum specialty company that we just talked about. Actually, it's the aluminum goods company. Their names are very similar. It's now Miro. Mm-hmm. And a Snow Bronco is an aluminum sled that has a raised seat, and I found an advertisement for it that says it rides like a Bronco. And I'm not quite sure why you'd want to get a sled that rides like a Bronco, but that was the selling point. And it looks like it would be a rough ride, and the idea was that it bounced up and down as you went down the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far as I can tell, it was only in production in 1958, which is not surprising. But it's sort of trying to pick up on the Western themes of that time period. The
yeah.
little kids wanted everything Western, so the sled has a picture of a cowboy on a bronco on the seat. So they're trying to tie into that.
And we have, and just another kind of sled type thing, I'm sure we had Wisconsin companies making toboggans, and frankly still do.
Well, you know, when I went and looked, I didn't find any.
You didn't?
We do have a toboggan on exhibit that was used in Madison. So we try to show all the different kinds of sleds, you know, sleds,
yeah.
coasters, bobsleds. And toboggans.
And I think there's a wall, I think, that's really kind of arresting, too, because it shows some of the biggest thunderstorms in the state over the years.
Yes. When you first walk in, I wanted you to be hit with kind of the big snowstorms. They're mainly of the late 19th, early 20th centuries. The biggest one ever, as far as I can tell, at least the one that's sort of eye-opening, is 1881. We had 2 to 4 feet of snow with drifts up to 20 feet. And so I have a number of pictures of Whitewater, for example, where the snow is 20 feet in the middle of the street and they've dug out the sidewalks. So it's pretty amazing. There's a few more pictures of them, the same snowstorm, digging out the train tracks.
Oh.
And they're doing it by hand. And you're going out down, you know, 10, 15 feet of snow by hand. It's pretty amazing.
Well, the whole exhibit sounds amazing, Leslie. Thank you so much for talking with us today about it. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Leslie Belay is the curator of social history for the Wisconsin Historical Society. Great to have her along. And that exhibit at the Wisconsin Historical Society runs through January 10th. I think you could find out even a little more about it if you go to the Wisconsin Historical Society website. And if you just put Google that in, you're going to find it right away. And Leslie's great to have her along. And great to have you listening in. Tomorrow, Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus make their annual visit to talk to boys and girls of Wisconsin and around the Midwest. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.